This is the Alien UFO Podcast. I'm your host, Simon Bowne. My mission here at the Alien UFO Podcast is to investigate all things that are part of the wider UFO phenomenon. I'm looking at UFO sightings, alien abduction, and other related phenomena. I've always had an interest in two areas, the afterlife and UFOs. I've been producing the Past Lives podcast for a while now, and at time of this recording I've reached 190 episodes. That podcast is about investigating evidence that our consciousness is not generated by a physical brain, and so when we die we continue to exist in some way. I love making that podcast and find the information fascinating. But I also have this great interest in UFOs and the alien abduction phenomenon. Recently I thought it was time to start a UFO podcast so I could examine this. I will produce the episodes just like the Past Lives podcast. Each hour-long episode will be an interview with an expert researcher or someone who has had some kind of UFO experience, whether it's a sighting or an abduction. And I'm sure there will be more to this than just those two things, so I'm happy to go down the UFO rabbit hole and see what's there. And I'm setting up a Patreon campaign for this podcast, and every week I'll be posting an extended episode there. Now, as this is episode one, and I am making a podcast about UFOs, I thought I'd tell you about my UFO sightings. First of all, I'll tell you about one that happened back in about 1993-94, where I was very close to a UFO. The second sighting had a weird synchronicity related to it, and I saw a UFO that was about half a mile away. I will describe this first sighting the way I've always described it. The thing about witness reports is that they change over time, particularly over a number of years. As I had been interested in UFOs for decades, I knew this could happen to me, so I decided in the days after this sighting that if I was to be describing this UFO, I would always use the same words, kind of like having a script. This way the description would not change over time. This sighting happened at 1 a.m. on a Monday morning. I'd been gigging with my band in a town west of London called High Wycombe. After I had packed up my equipment, I left the gig and started heading back into London on a motorway called the M40. I knew this motorway well and had travelled it many times. After a short while, the motorway lighting that was just outside of town petered out and I was driving in the dark. There was no other traffic on the motorway and I reached a reasonable cruising speed. Up ahead of me to the left of the motorway, in a field I knew was empty of buildings, I noticed a very bright light. I started to reduce my speed. I thought that the light might be due to some emergency repairs, perhaps for a burst water main, but it did seem odd as I knew the field was just grass and trees. We drive on the left in the UK, so I was on the same side of the motorway as the light. As I approached the edge of the field, I saw the object. It was the shape of a rugby ball and as big as a large house. It was silent and just above the trees in the field. I would say the height was approximately 40 feet. It did not move at all throughout the brief sighting. Across one half of the bottom of the craft were many, many red pin spot lights. They were very bright. We see LED lights that look like this often today, but in 1993 or 4, I don't think they'd been invented. At the opposite end of the craft was a spotlight pointed at the ground. This was a very, very powerful beam of light. So bright and yet still a narrow beam. I had dropped my speed to 5 miles an hour and was leaning forward looking over my steering wheel. I got a really good look at this object and I started going through a mental checklist to try and work out what it was. Was it a helicopter? No, it couldn't be. There was no sound and you can hear a helicopter from miles away. Was it a hot air balloon? I think this is very unlikely. Where would they have got the lights that hadn't been invented yet? Why fly it at night over an empty field in the middle of the night with all these lights on it? And flying at night, it's the law you have to have specific anti-collision lights. After I passed the field, I increased my speed and went home. On arrival, I checked the time in case there was some missing time, but I was relieved to find that the time was about right for that journey. Now, I wouldn't claim that what I saw was definitely some alien craft, but it was something extraordinary. And what I thought was a little weird is that, having such a great interest in UFOs, why did I just continue driving and increase my speed to get away from it after I'd seen it? Why didn't I stop and get a better look? And now onto the other sighting. And this one has an interesting synchronicity. This one was about 10 years ago. I was, once again, gigging with a band, and I was on my way to a gig. The gig was in a town west of London called Reading. I'd moved to the south coast and had to drive across a national park called the New Forest to get to the motorway that would take me up there. The road I was on had two lanes in each direction and was the only major road through this area. There were large bushes either side of the road, so I could not pull over and stop. Also, there was a reasonable amount of traffic. This happened at about 7 p.m. Half a mile away, off to the side of the road, I saw an orange ball of light. It was stationary, and like the last sighting, just above a tree. It did not move at all during the sighting, and I would say it was about the size of a car, and it lit up a large area beneath it. I dropped my speed, and for about 30 seconds I got a good look at it. 30 seconds doesn't sound like much, but if you were to watch the minute hand on a clock for that long, you would see it is enough. There was too much traffic to stop where I was, so I had to just continue on my journey. The thing about this national park is that there are very strict limits about what you can do there. If you drive through that park on one of the small roads, which are just wide enough for one car, you sometimes find horses or sheep blocking your way. I can't see that anybody would be able to set up a huge orange light there. And anyway, what's the point? A few weeks later, I walked into the forest and found the tree the light was above. And there's nothing there but grass and trees, certainly no buildings or anywhere a light could be set up. And now I can explain the interesting synchronicity. On the way back from the gig, I was listening to a podcast hosted by Mike Cleland, and he was talking to Joe Montaldo, an alien abduction researcher. Mike was telling Joe about an experience he had when he was at home one night. His home was not in the city, and there was a field behind the building. Mike woke up to see a very bright light coming through his bedroom window. He sat up in bed and looked out to see a large ball of orange light with four grey ETs walking towards his house. When he said this, Joe replied, "And you know what that orange ball of light was now, don't you?" The thing was, Joe said this at the exact moment I reached the spot where I saw the orange ball of light. The synchronicity of this timing made me feel like Joe was talking to me. Okay, so this is the first episode of the Alien UFO podcast. It's a very short episode, but it's a kind of a introduction, let you know about my sightings and my interest in UFOs. I really appreciate you tuning into this one and having a listen. And if you enjoy this podcast, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or via your favourite podcast app, and then you won't miss out on any episodes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you come back for more.